Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, a beautiful afternoon for a good game of football now, and it looks as though we have the makings of it.
Barnes has come in. Oh, a fine goal by John Barnes. That's a beauty.
Electricity ceiling, Tom, please. Jordan, Tom, it's lovely to meet you guys in person.
Yeah, it's good to be here in person. You know, we're not just stealing the electricity, we're also stealing the music in the background as well, which is obviously a little doubt, but we're going to persist. It's good to see you go in person. I met Matt last week, but Tom was absent. In a Watford bus tradition, we were in a front two and waiting for the third to join, so it's good to be here as a trio.
Yeah, it is lovely. And we've got fantastic news. Everyone already knows it already, but Tom Cleverley, now the permanent head coach, and his first home victory under his belt as well. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's the main takeaway from today, right? That everything else is kind of by the by, but we've got that win. We've got that win for Tom, and first one since November 24th or whatever it was. I think everybody needed that by hook or by crook. And as Jordan said earlier when we met up, I think case of just do not lose this one, because it kind of sets it off on the right footing. There was a bloke opposite me in the rookery greeting all of his mates by saying, "Welcome to the Tom Cleverley era." And that's, I thought that was a big brand calling it an era. But if it's going to be, we need more of today.
When you said that we got that win for Tom, you talking about yourself in the third person as well?
It's really confusing when people say Tom now. Matt's been doing it on the podcast, obviously, during his interim spell for a few weeks. My ears keep freaking up. I think, right, it's me. Oh, no, it's not me. It's Tom Cleverley.
I just assume it's your ego coming through the podcast yet again.
Yeah. Tom,
Cleverley.
That was your first game for a little while.
Oh, Tom Bodell.
Tom Bodell, that was your first game for a little while. What was your reaction?
I don't feel like it was that different to a lot of the games I've seen recently, either on iDrive or on Sky or whatever. It was very disjointed. It was very on the beach vibes. Both teams, you know, were poor. Neither team had anything to play for. I've never seen the ball turned over so much in a football match in my life at this level, I don't think. It was just back and forward. I thought we started all right. First 10 or 15 minutes, it looked like we were causing a few problems with the kind of quick ball in behind. The defensive line was quite high. Slotting the ball through quickly, going over the top. And then we just lost our way completely. Sunderland were probably ending the half stronger. Second half was a lot better, though. I think you've got a bit of a rocket up them. The changes helped things. Ryan Andrews got a lot more involved and a lot higher up the pitch than Jack Greaves, who, bless him, just didn't have a chance, really, did he? He wasn't brought in to play an awful lot, and we were better, and I think by that point there was only one team that's going to win it unless we shot ourselves in the foot, which we did our absolute best to do as well.
What do we make of the Jack Greaves debut? Obviously difficult for him starting at right wing back, but an interesting choice. I'm glad to see him involved, but you know, how did he do? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he really got played the ball. He looked quite annoyed that he wasn't really getting as much action as he wanted to. And I was surprised by the right wing back selection. I think a lot of people, when they saw the team was published, that they were thinking, oh, is this a change of shape or something? But no, it was right wing back. Any ideas why that might have been drawn?
I mean, I think it's good to see what you've got on your hands. Obviously, we know Tom Bodell and Tom Cleverley will be here next season. So now is the opportunity to really look at some of what...
I confirm my future.
Yeah. It's true. Still up in the air.
There are a lot of podcasts swirling in this pub this evening. I could be off.
I tell you what, after the coach stuff, they're not in for you. But no, it was good to see, and obviously it was maybe somewhat of a reward for Greaves, who's been around the team all season but not really had any chances. So, you know, different position for him. As we say, there was some frustration probably for him. Lots of our play down the left-hand side, which, you know, you expect when you see Simmer back in the team. But, yeah, tough. A lot, you know, maybe a couple of situations he got on the ball, and the main thing I can remember him really doing is taking a few throw-ins. So, tough really for him to make that impact.
I thought, I tweeted this as well, just not too long before half-time, I think, he got really annoyed with someone, I can't remember who it was, but a fairly senior player, for not getting the ball out to him quickly enough on the right-hand side. I thought that was good to see, that he wasn't just being a wallflower, even though they weren't involving him, that he was trying to, you know, get involved and do the right things. I also quite liked, it wasn't him, but it was Porteous, who was quite evidently kind of coaching him through a lot of it earlier on, and so saying, right, come in here, get this side of your man, come across, good, that sort of thing, which is good. But yeah, it's a really tough one for him, not probably the position he wanted to make his debut in, but you're never going to sort of say no if you're Jack Greaves, are you, at his age and in his standing.
Of course, saying hello to Jack Greaves for the first time, hopefully he gets more minutes next season. But you think when you said goodbye to a few people there, it felt like maybe Jake Livermore perhaps at the end, possibly Emmanuel Dennis as well, Jamal Lewis, I think, probably certainly. So there's a few players there that we might have seen at Vicarage Road for the last time.
Yeah, you know, there's some that still potentially might be around next season. You know, you mentioned Emmanuel Dennis there. I wouldn't be surprised if he's one that potentially could see around. But, yeah, there was some. Jake Livermore already felt like it was that last opportunity. We've seen none of him over the last few weeks, have we? So, you know, it's good to appreciate what he did. He did give us some... He gave us I almost think of the season in three separate parts. He was so integral to that second portion of the season. But yeah, I think as well, you know, Asprilla potentially too. You know, you wonder if he's one that you might see for the last time, and as well as any other pitchers. Lewis, definitely. I'm glad to see one final cut back towards the defence from Jamal Lewis there. And it was we didn't stay to the end for the lap of honour today, so
no.
Maybe there was more to the story there that we missed.
I saw a little bit of it because I let the crowd go. Ismail Kone did his own kind of mini lap of honour and then the main one, which made me think, did he get the memo about the lap of honour, or was he just doing his own goodbye?
But he really does that a lot, doesn't he?
Oh, does he? Right, okay. He really went for it. Like, fair play to him.
Yeah.
And then obviously Asprilla waved as he was subbed off and then did a separate one, and I think he off. But then I was talking to someone, was it Jordan or someone, that said he did it's my friend Paul. Hi, Paul. He did an interview after getting Young Player of the Year, and Wesley Hoop came over and translated. Who knew Wesley Hoop could speak Spanish?
Wow.
And he was talking about, oh, you know, we'll count on your support next season and what have you.
Who was this side?
That was Asprilla.
Oh, okay.
Translated by Wesley Hoop.
Interesting,
which is kind of surprising, but.
Okay, well, I mean,
a long summer ahead.
No, I think the thing is, we talked about our methods of creating turnover, creating revenue, and we all know that we've relied on those big player sales. And we look through the squad right now, and there's really just a couple we can see bringing any money in through, and it feels like it's an inevitability and almost a necessity to move someone on. The obvious answer is Asprey. I was talking during the game with a friend as well, saying that, you know, it's a shame that we had to, if we do have to sell Asprey this year, which is looking likely, it's a shame we couldn't have that extra season or two to get into that João Pedro level, because you would think that really his value would increase for us. He's still under contract. You look at next season, another 12 months, if he can refine himself a little bit more, we're looking at a bigger paycheck in 12 months. The question is, can we hang on till then? Can we wait?
This could really be his team if he stays on for another year, I think, couldn't it? In a way, as you say, Pedro did really grab him by the scruff of the neck. We'll probably lose players. You know, it's a lot easier to look good in an even worse team. So, yeah, I don't know if we'll get the opportunity.
I wonder if the Tom Cleverley aspect might influence him to stay a bit more. I mean, it seems as though the players have really enjoyed playing under him. A lot of people are highlighting the fact that on Instagram and TikTok, people were liking the fact that Tom Cleverley had been given the main deal, and you know, they want him to be there. And also, interestingly, Tom Cleverley said that the squad will look a lot different to next season, and in particular, you know, the formation is going to look different for next season. And I think maybe 4-3-3, is that what you think, Jordan?
I think he's probably indicating we'll move away from the back five. I think today and the last couple of games, to be honest with you, we started to see some of the negative you associate with that back five start to kind of seep its way into the team. We looked a little bit more lost in possession today, struggling to break the lines a little bit. And I think with the short-term remit that he had before he was given the job permanently, you know, we knew that he just had to not win. Not to lose. He did both successfully for a period, but I think that's the short term. And longer term, you're looking over a bigger season. Obviously, then you're starting to change your focus slightly, and maybe your objectives are a little bit more positive. You need to find ways to be more consistently winning games, and that's probably going to lend itself more to that change of formation.
Yeah. Tom, what do you think the future looks like under Tom Cleverley?
I'm very optimistic about it all, and I wrote this in the week and I tried to articulate it, and I'm not sure I nailed it, and I'm definitely not going to nail it in this raucous mad squirrel with half a pint gone, but as much as anything, I think he gives us, he's a bit of a North Star, he's that kind of beacon of hope in a way that we're all a similar age. I worked out I was 17 when he first came here. And that was a time where, you know, my whole life revolved around Watford Football Club, far more than it does now with adult responsibilities.
You say that as you're recording a podcast in the middle of a bar, Tom.
Yeah,
so.
I know, behind a Watford, with a Watford mural behind me.
Indeed.
I know, yeah. Anyway, I think he's shown in the short time that he's got, in the suboptimal circumstances, bad squad, you know, not a lot to play for, etc., that he can have an impact. He's tired us up, and I think, as you said, Jordan, it's kind of probably out of necessity, the back five. With a full summer, we all have always kind of talked about getting the appointment made early, Rob Edwards, Valerio Ismael. Well, we got this appointment made early, and he had a nine-game period to really look under the bonnet, kick the tyres, you know, see what hidden nasties there are. He will have no excuse in that sense, and I don't mean that as a way of kind of putting pressure on him, but he's had an advantage that no other head coach recently has had. So if he's backed in the market, and we saw Scott Duxbury's comments in the programme today about backing him, we'll see how that manifests itself.
What were the comments? I didn't see the comments. No, roughly.
Basically just, we'll give Tom our backing. We'll back him to hell and .. No. I won't say that, lols.
Yeah.
So, self-aware or not self-aware enough, as I tweeted, I'm not sure. But
did he actually say that word?
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Okay.
I quite liked it, but I know it rubbed some people up on Twitter the wrong way. So.
I mean, at least he's trying to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Not saying I'm a massive Scott Duxbury fan, but yeah, okay. Well, interesting. I mean, as we've seen before, and we'll see how it pans out in that sense. But Yeah, it's an interesting one, especially for us as well. You mentioned there, Tom, 17 when he started. Matt was probably only 25 by then too, right? So it's something that there's still something very odd about seeing him stood there in the dugout today.
And, oh, big time. And, you know, the whole world's been quick to say when he was appointed interim, oh, God, don't you feel old? Well, I think Watford supporters probably feel a lot older because we've seen his whole career in that sense, haven't we? Someone who came here, went away, achieved brilliant things at Man United, played for England, Team GB at the Olympics, and now we've kind of come back and seen the Indian summer of his career and the next stage as well. And in that respect, it's going to be a brilliant appointment and it's going to be a terrible appointment. And I say that because he'll get a lot of time and patience from the fans, and he will buy the owner and, you know, the executive some time if he does well. And if he doesn't, he won't carry any flak for that. I don't think that will all be, oh, they ramped it up here, haven't they? All that criticism and everything will be directed at the ownership, because you don't make a fool out of one of our kind of modern day heroes like me. So it's a big gamble.
Yeah. One of the questions posed recently is, should the backroom staff be altered at all? A lot of people have said experience. They've mentioned the likes of Keith Birkinshaw when Adrian Beaufort came in. You kind of have that in Jimmy Gilligan already, but some people have said, oh, he's not got the real management experience of the past, so should that be altered? What are your thoughts on those guys?
I think you just have to trust the guy in charge there. You have to trust Tom Clemens to know what he needs and what he doesn't. You know, we know how hard it is to gauge experience. We can't just look at previous jobs and previous appointments to say the knowledge they have access to. We don't know. And I think, you know, right now in the short term where he was appointed as the interim, of course there was an immediacy aspect to it where he had to get who was available, who could come and help. And a lot of that revolved around people he knew. But, you know, maybe he'll call upon that more. Oh, we've got a bit of music drop there in the background.
That's nice,
we've got to make the most of this and speak for this time.
Lovely.
Just to say, yeah, I think we'll get to see more of what Tom wants to do in terms of bringing those back staff members in, or backroom staff members in. And I'm interested to see. This would be the one thing I'll say about the appointment, so I give Tom a chance to talk before the music starts again properly. I'm interested to see this off-season now much more than I was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, agreed. I think for me the most important thing is he gets the person he wants, not has someone foisted upon him. You know, you're assistant manager, you're in the trenches with that person all day, every day. They've got to complement your weaknesses and complement your strengths, or, you know, fill the gaps where you've got weaknesses, complement your strengths. It's got to be someone you trust. I've worked at a football club before, and the assistant manager foisted upon him, and they were kind of open civil war most of the time, and that's meant to be the person you trust the most. So if it were me, I'd probably want someone experienced, but I don't think it has to be experienced in the sense of Keith Birkinshaw age. You also want relevant experience, someone that's played in a kind of contemporary era. And to be fair, I don't think Tom Cleverley's without that. You know, he has played at a very good level ultimately for a lot of his career. He might not be an experienced coach or manager, but he's been around enough good managers, enough bad managers, I'm sure he'd also say in private, to take bits through with him as well. So it's not like he's a completely wet behind the ears coach.
Yeah. Question about Tom. This is not to be a negative, just a genuine thought. Does Gino feel that Tom is someone that he has a certain level of inherent influence over as a former player?
Ooh, that's a good point. I mean, it's a lot easier to assert your influence over someone that's new and that definitely wants that opportunity.
Yeah, and you also already have an established seniority as a professional in terms of a playing career. And you know, obviously he held a position high in the squad as a captain and so on, but
he's also highlighted that he knows exactly how it works here at Watford, and he's happy to play the game. So
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, for his longevity and being given the opportunity, it's kind of a good thing, I guess, because if he's deciding to rock the boat, he won't be here very long, because Gino Pozzo will just, you know, wield the axe. If he can play the game, he might get himself, a Watford manager might get a whole season to try and craft something.
Well, that's a good point,
He's also in a lucky position here, where Watford fans at the minute, I think their expectations probably haven't been at this level for several years. In the past, it was sort of like, we have to stay in the Premier League, or even we have to maybe get into Europe. And then it was, okay, we have to get back to the Premier League. I feel like at the minute, it's kind of, we have to just be competitive in the Championship, which is very possible to do. And you know, Tom has probably the best opportunity there to go in without much pressure on his back. He already has the fan support and love because of what he's done in the past. So it could be a really good opportunity for him and a great win for Gino Pozzo, because he's got somebody there that he already knows has that affinity with the fans, that has got the drive and determination to want to craft out a career for themselves. It feels like all of the boxes have been ticked, even if in some ways it's scratching each other's backs, but it doesn't matter because the Watford fans will benefit from that.
It's a very unique situation in that sense, but you know, I'm interested to see, if you mentioned that, it's a good point. Is it a hindrance? Is it negative? Is it almost like that that youth team promoted to the first team sort of situation where you get taken a little less seriously, or is it someone that potentially knows how the game works and knows how to benefit from the current system in place? But it could be really interesting to see. As I said earlier, there, it makes this offseason far more interesting. You know, a lot of it's going to be talked about what we did recruitment wise, and that's going to continue. But we get to see, are we going to have a head coach back? Because we know what it looks like to see a pre-season without that. We've seen one under Rob Edwards and arguably under Ismail too last year in many ways. So, yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems, too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and, of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's also really exciting that Tom has been asked the question, you know, the parachute payments are coming to an end, there's not going to be that money there, are you going to look at dipping into the loan market? And he's kind of highlighted or mentioned that he is going to be looking at that area, and he has a lot of contacts in the game, the likes of Man United, Everton, Aston Villa, places he can go to with links and possibly pulling power to bring a couple of young, good potential players to Watford. It could enhance the squad more so than if we had somebody else in charge.
This feels like something we've massively underutilised in recent years. You know,
Jamal Lewis.
Of course.
Amazing.
But you know, Cleverley himself was the perfect example. Him and Lansbury that same season, young lads that were, you know, well regarded at big Premier League clubs, came here for a bit of a finishing school. We can still do that. We're local to London. That is a pulling point in terms of being able to kind of check up on their progress and not being too kind of removed from home if it's a London club. And if he's going to say, right, we're going to play a certain style of football, which I think he will, I don't think we're expecting him to play particularly direct or long ball football, you know, we're going to play a style of football that's translatable to bigger clubs. I think those all things are in our favour, so we should be doing that. And to be honest, I don't think, you know, beggars can't be choosers, and I think we're maybe not beggars, but we're quite close.
Yeah, one of the players that you will have to play with next season is Ryan Andrews. I felt as though he was someone that came on at half time and made a difference. Yeah. Obviously grabbed himself the goal. I mean, what a journey he's been on from the start of the season to the end of the season. It felt as though he's grown as a player. He hasn't reached the heights that I think some people have expected him to. There are a few fans out there who expect him to leave in the summer because they think that he's, you know, the next big thing. I think as far as Watford are concerned, he is the next big thing, but he's not at championship level going to be going into the Premier League anytime soon. I think he still needs to find his feet, but he's certainly made some really good grounding, and I think he's going to have a really good season next year under Tom Cleverley, just getting better and better.
Yeah, I think today was probably his best appearance at wing-back as well in particular. Yeah. That's something that he's maybe struggled a little bit to really take on, and we've got to see. Maybe it's the motivation not starting the game and having to come on and having that short period of time to really get in there. But he did actually do a pretty solid job. Obviously scored the winning goal, which helps. But he was quick to press out there, and he was quick to get forward and quick to get back. That mobility really came through. And previously, we've seen not really him use that athleticism, that capability that he has to occupy that right-hand side. Looked almost a little bit shy to take on the responsibility of the entirety of that side. But he did it today, and it was good to see.
And Albert Ames got himself a contract. Congratulations to him. That right wing back side looks like it's really becoming quite competitive at the minute.
Well, especially as well, we talked about it yet, but we saw in the week Jeremy Ngakoue is out for the rest of the season
absolutely.
As well. So another injury for the recently re-signed Jeremy Ngakoue, which, you know, from a squad building perspective, are you thinking that's now potentially a position you have to be a little bit more considerate of?
Yeah, I mean, well, what do you think, Tom? Who knew Jack Grealish could play at right wing back? But that is potentially four players we have next season that are contracted that could be in that position. Four into one doesn't really go.
I suspect that might be a one-off for Jack Greaves. I suspect he'll be closer to the squad again next season, but probably not a right back, right wing back if we do end up playing 4-3-3, as Jordan suggested. To be honest with you, Albert Ames has got as good a chance as anyone, because Jeremy Ngakoue has been back, and I'm doing air quotes, for 2 months, and he's been injured about four times in that period.
Yeah.
I feel for the guy, because it must be shit being a professional footballer and always having something. So, you know, as much as I take shots, cheap shots here on my Twitter, on a human level I do for a sign for him, but you just can't rely on the guy. So he's going to get opportunities next season, I'm sure, about that.
I think you're right. It's a tough one to ever play. We've had quite a few players that have had that situation in the past, but yeah, it very rarely ends well. So curious decision making there. Obviously, we discussed that already, but already seems like a potential position of need. And maybe you're looking at someone that has the flexibility to at least fill that role. But a lot of that's going to rely on knowing what we're trying to do next season. So, you know, having Tom in place early, Tom Cleverley, that is, we get to really try and find out a solution to that problem.
Yeah, we'll go into this in a bit more detail in the summer, I think. But just very briefly, what does Tom need to add to his squad to make it competitive for next season? Where are the areas that he really needs to look at?
I think most Watford fans would say a goalkeeper is a starting point. I don't have, as we know, a huge issue with Daniel Backman. He made a couple of good saves today.
Yeah, he gets in it.
Ball at feet, he was an absolute horror show for most of the game, so I concede that. Right back, left back, centre half, number six, probably a couple of wingers if Asprilla and Tizzy up again. So we've got another winger, haven't we? Mateus Martins go, and a couple of strikers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could make an argument for almost every position, couldn't you?
Yeah. Yes.
So it is tough. I think, you know, left back is a definite. If I had to say one, that's one position you know that we're going to have James Morris as a starter again until we rectify that situation. And obviously, there's a lot to be resolved in many positions. So we'll find out more as the time goes on, I'm sure. And we'll get to see if we'll be looking for any other particular position of these. But right now, all of them.
And the other thing is that's the kind of wish list. Reality might be somewhat different. It might be make do and mend the left back with James Morris and Ken Sema. It might be make do and mend the right back with Andrews, Neems and Gakia. You know, it's not as easy getting people in the building as Football Manager and FIFA make it look.
Yeah, indeed. Okay then, but we move on to next week. Middlesbrough away, that's the last game of the season. What do we think about that one?
They walloped Cardiff today, didn't they? So they're going for it.
Yeah. I just think credit to any fans that are going down to Middlesbrough away next weekend. That's a monumental effort to see out the season. And yeah, I think most of us just waiting to see now how the week's post-season transpire and where we start to build and so on for next year.
Yeah, as the table looks currently, the battle for 13th is still on top.
Yeah. Do you know what? My formative years of being a Watford fan are kind of being pleased with 13th place finish. So the nostalgia, Tom Cleverley, 13th place.
Yeah, let's get
in rubbish. I'm here for it.
Do you know where was it we finished in Tom's first loan season? What with that? Was it around that position?
Probably, yeah. Maybe a bit lower.
Yeah. Because considering that's in somewhat a bright point in our minds, thinking of the likes of Tom Cleverley and Henry Lansbury to be out, he is. Yeah. It's a season where we actually finished. I mean, well, I guess we were seeing safety as the positive there, so potentially that's why. But yeah, you know, the first player to finish in that position and potentially be able to win it as a manager as well. So yeah, the battle for 13th commences.
Before we go, do you remember who finished as the player of the season? Because I can't remember if I picked up that.
It was Wesley Hoot.
Wesley Hoot actually got it, I guess. Jordan, what do you think about Wesley Hoot as being the player of the season?
Hard to argue with, I guess. He's been very good in many games. I think the bar for player of the season has never been lower.
Yeah.
But I think it's a fair shout. So if I had to have voted it, I didn't vote, but I had to have done, it would probably have been for Wesley.
And I think Yasser Shreya picked up the young player of the season, right?
That's correct, yeah. I think Jordan nailed it earlier when he said in relation to something else, there's been three parts this season, and it massively has. And in that middle part of the season, I could only have seen Jake Livermore getting it.
Yeah.
He's obviously become an irrelevance in the final third of the season. And for that reason, I think it has to be Hoot, because he's the only one who's played consistently throughout and been kind of 6.5, 7 out of 10 most weeks throughout the entire season. A lot of them have had moments. Jack Bittadze has had moments. Tom Deli Bashiru, moments.
I have to admit, I was not particularly overwhelmed by the Wesley Hoot signing. I don't think many of us were particularly overwhelmed either with the performance early on. It was very mixed when he first came to the club. But this year he has exceeded my expectations in many ways. And I think he has been one of the consistent players this season, relatively speaking. So, yeah, in such a turbulent season yet again, you can't really look past consistency. And obviously, I believe he's played the most minutes of any player. But also the performance level has been pretty good, so no complaints.
Yeah, he also picked up the captaincy after Dan Backman sort of relinquished it. It's likely that he, if he's still here next season, may be the captain again. Although, is he currently about to end his contract?
No, he's still got another year,
one
I believe.
Year, okay, yeah. One more year, okay, cool.
One more year.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I think we might wrap it up there because we've managed to battle against this rocking band. I've really been enjoying music, actually, but it's just a shame that we can't enjoy it properly.
I've not listened to a word you said, I just didn't really listen to the music. So, yeah, it's been a great performance, and I'm looking forward to continuing it after we wrap up.
We should just give a quick shout-out to a listener that came up and found us. Knew who I was, and I hadn't even said a word in his earshot, Luke. So a shout out to Luke, who came over and said hello
actually,
to all of us.
Actually, a few of you have come over today. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's been very nice to meet.
Bigger fan club, I see.
Yes, shout out to Matt Kershaw as well. Anyone else to came over?
I think everyone else wants to remain anonymous, so
okay,
I'll respect their privacy. But it's been good to meet people in person, including yourselves. And yeah, looking forward to the next time we can do this, and hopefully slightly quieter.
Let's schedule your next visit to this country when there isn't a live.
Yes,
can we do that?
Yeah.
Well, Well, okay then. From Matt and from Jordan and from Tom, we've been the Watford Buyers. We've been delighted to bring this season to you, as we have with the previous three or four seasons. I think we're about to enter the fifth season, is that right? I can't remember now. We've been doing it for a little while now, since lockdown, basically. We've been loving it. It's been very good to meet some of you here today at the Mad Squirrel. It's been lovely to meet Jordan and Tom in person. I'm having a lovely time. I'm about to go get a few more beers now, so we might end this podcast here.
Good lad.
Just a final note, if you do like us, please do find us on iTunes. Just go down to the bottom there, give us a rating out of 5. That would really help us to mostly get higher up in the iTunes listings, and then more Watford fans can find us, and then more Watford fans can come along at various times when we happen to be all together, which is very, very rare indeed, but we're loving it. Also, please give us a follow at Watford Pod.
Yeah, well done.
At Tom Burnell. No, at TV Burnell. Yeah. At Jordan Weimer. At Messi Messiano. We're the Watford Buzz Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Come on, you on.
Goodbye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.